John 6 and 60. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Amen. God would be so kind to help us today. I want to preach to you from this subject title, Burning the Boats. Burning the Boats. Amen. Would you help me pray again that the Holy Ghost would speak and have his complete way? Would you lift your voice? Come on, men, let's lift our voices and let's lead this prayer. Would you lift your hearts? Come on, Jesus, we need you today. Praise the Lord. Jesus' name. You may be seated today. John chapter 6 is a very intriguing chapter of the Word of God. I've read it many times, and I've tried to place myself with these people. I've tried to place myself in this story. And this crowd of astounded followers I read about who are absolutely amazed at the works of Jesus Christ. They were in awe of the words that he spoke. And they followed him over the Sea of Galilee. I imagine myself eating with 5,000 other men plus whatever family that was there. I imagine the absolute wonder and amazement at seeing just a small little sack lunch, if you please, feed this great multitude of people, and then seeing 12 baskets of leftovers. You've got to understand, this was absolutely phenomenal to behold. And I imagine myself standing amazed and somewhat confused on the shores of Capernaum the following morning, wondering how Jesus joins his disciples on a boat that they never saw him enter. And listening as Jesus declares that you've sought me because you desire, I feel the void in your bellies, when really I want to feel the void in your soul. And the crowd that was declaring that they desire to see and to do the great works of God, and then only to hear the Master's response that the work of God is to believe that I am Emmanuel, God with you. I am God in flesh, fashioned as a man. Amen. I'm glad I have a revelation today. There's not three gods in heaven. There's only one God, and his name is Jesus Christ. You say, that's not a big deal, preacher. That's a big, big deal. Because you see, he is Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. If you don't get that right, amen, if you don't build your building on that chief cornerstone, everything else is wrong from there on out. You've got to have the foundation right, that Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is still one. Jesus was not number two in a man-made Godhead. He was God fashioned as a man. Well, thank God for truth today. Then I imagine listening further as someone asks for a sign of further proof that you are who you say you are. Still desiring to see the great works like the bread and the manna. And then I've wondered, how long did it take for Jesus to literally suck the air out of that crowd as he began to take them down a necessary road that they were not ready to travel? And I wonder, if I would have stood there and heard the words that they heard that day, I wonder how would I have felt and what would I have done as he began to explain that it was not Moses, but rather God that gives bread from heaven. And when they began to ask a man how to receive this bread, that Jesus would say unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Amen. Without some great spiritual revelation to hear this Messiah who just fed over 5,000 people, to hear him say, if you come to me, you're never going to hunger again. You're never going to thirst again. I can see myself trying to compute the words that he's saying there, wondering, how is this possible? Not understanding that he's not talking about the hunger in your belly, but in the hunger of your soul. Oh, I hope you'll just ride with me for a few moments today. And then the Jews murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that he saith, I come down from heaven? And then to hear him say, I am that bread of life. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I would give for the life of the world. I wonder today, would I have been a part of the shifting crowd that began to murmur in verse 52, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? I wonder if I would have been a little bit grossed out that this God in flesh, this Messiah, would have said, you've got to eat of my flesh and you'll never hunger again. And then he removed all uncertainty to his message when he said in verse 53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Amen. And then he said, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He saith, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. No doubt, amen, on that side of Calvary, without knowing the end of the story, I would have been a part of verse 60 of that crowd. What the Bible said, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? Here is somebody that's changing everything that I've known to be true, saying, if you want eternal life, eat of my flesh
and drink of my blood. No doubt we all would have stood there that day and said, I've got a problem with your message. I've got a problem with your doctrine. I'm grossed out by the ideology of eating your flesh and drinking your blood. No doubt we would have said amen when somebody would have said, this is an hard saying. This is a dry saying. This is a fierce saying. Amen. I want to stop and tell somebody that sometimes the road does get hard, and some days the message does get hard, but make up your mind. I've seen too much, I've felt too much, and I know too much, and I may not understand right now, but bless God, I'm going to hang around and see how this thing works out. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and love the Lord together. Come on. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. Speak, Holy Ghost, today. Give us ears to hear. Oh, help us follow after you today, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I just want to stop right there for just a moment. I want to ask somebody, what do you do in the hard times? Oh, come on, church, help me today. I don't feel what I want to feel today. Amen. What do you do in the hard times? Hallelujah. What do you do when the road gets a little bit too long and the valley's a little bit too deep? What do you do when you don't quite understand everything you want to understand? What do you do when you're living in a cloud of dark depression and confusion? I'll tell you what you better do. Get on your face and pray and push that plate back and say, God, I've got to hear your voice loud and clear, and God, lead me and guide me and save me from my own foolish ways and save me from myself. This is a hard saying. And I'm going to tell you what, this is what the world has a problem with. They say, man, I like your music. I like your spontaneity. I like the praise, the worship, I like it all. But I just don't know if I can live that way. You know what they're saying is, I love the miracles, the signs and wonders, but this is a hard saying. So Jesus, knowing the struggle, brings it to the surface. In verse 61, he puts a little pressure on the crowd. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured, the Bible said, he said unto them, doth this offend you? Now you talk about pointed. Now I know we like this little charismatic sloppy goppy preaching. We like somebody to go around the mulberry bush. We like somebody to kind of sneak up on us, and we like that five steps to a better you kind of preaching, and we don't want to offend anybody, and we don't want to make anybody mad, and we don't want to run anybody off by our straightforwardness. I know that's this generation, but that's not the kind of preacher that Jesus Christ was. He saw a problem. He just cut to the chase. He kind of got in their face and said, it's a hard saying. Can you handle it? Can you handle straight preaching? Doth this offend you? I want to know, have you got a problem with what I'm talking about? In other words, what he was saying was, you're offended. And I know it. The word of God has rubbed you the wrong way, and I can tell it. Amen. And so, amen, here they are, and it's a hard saying. They're offended, and I'll just say this, be careful what you do when you're offended. Be careful what you do when you're offended. And so, then finally, it comes down to the real test in verse 66. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. At that time, the masses began to leave. At that time, all the offended began to leave. At that time, all that agreed, this is a hard saying, began to leave. Amen. I'll take a side note and tell you that the Bible says in Matthew 11 and 20, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of the mighty works were done, because they repented not. I want to tell you, friend, miracles will only take us so far. too many are around for what they can get out of the church. I'm here because I want my blessing. I'm here because I want my help out of my problem. I need my healing. I want my touch. They're not drawn by the word. They're not drawn because they want to be saved. They're here because I want God to bless me. But miracles only take us so far. You got to get the word of God down in your heart and declare, I'm here. If I never get touched, if I'm never blessed, if I'm never healed, I'm here because this place preaches the truth of the word of God. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Hey, Ezekiel, before you preach the word of God to a rebellious nation, God said, eat the roll. To a weary Jeremiah who declared he would just be quiet. He couldn't stand it any longer because he said God's word was in his heart as a burning fire shut up in his bones. You get the idea. It's imperative to get the word of God deep in your spirit and say, I'm not here because I like the fellowship. I'm not here because I like somebody's personality. I'm not here because I like the miracles and the signs and the wonders. I got the word of God deep in my heart. Hey, I would tell somebody, you can't just backslide with the word of God deep in your heart. You don't just walk out the back door with the word of God settled in your heart.
Jesus, please help us today.
It's hard to compromise when the word of God is settled deep in your heart. So while the masses are leaving, I'll tell you what, that was the best time to leave, is when others were leaving. It's easy to blend in with the crowd. Nobody wants to stand up and walk out by themselves. So the others were leaving. The masses are leaving. Man, if it was easy to not be so noticed and just kind of blend in with the crowd and go out and be numbered among the masses, that was the time to walk away. If there was ever a time when the pressure was mounting so intensely, amen, not just from the crowd, but no doubt from the adversary. Come on, you can't live like this. This word's crazy. Follow the masses. Go somewhere else. It's a lot easier somewhere else. Just get on out while the others are leaving. And there was a tremendous pressure. And in that moment of intense pressure, Jesus looked at the 12 and said, will you also go away? How to know where you stand? You're here. It's an easy time to leave. Pressure's mounting. How to know what about you 12 that I've called and I'm leaning on? Are you going to cave in too? Or are you going to hang around and ride this thing out? Because anybody can be a quitter in the hard times. Anybody can pack up and leave when things just don't go your way. Amen. But for these disciples, amen, I wish somebody could have told them. It may be a little fuzzy right now. You don't understand things right now. But hang around. Because in Acts chapter 2, there's a power of God going to fall and change your world. Hang around, young man. Someday, they're going to pray, let your shadow pass by me that I might be healed. It's dark right now, but hang around. It's fuzzy right now, but hang around. It's midnight right now, but hang around. The morning's coming filled with joy and gladness and understanding. Like the old song says, until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy, I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city. Until the day God calls me home. until there's a hole in the ground or a hole in the sky. I'm not leaving the church. I'm not backing up. I'm not going back where I came from. I still hate the sin that I was bogged down in. I'm still glad he brought me out of the miry clay. I'm not going back to the muck and the mire of the hog pen. I've made up my mind. I'm staying in the church. My mind's made up. My heart is fixed. I'm staying in the church. I'm staying in the church.
Have you ever thought about, I guess you could call it the law of the Hebrew servant. God said if your brother, if he serve you as a slave, he said he shall serve you for 6 years. And the seventh year, he can go free. Or he can choose to stay. It's up to the servant. If he wants to go, he can go. If he wants to stay, he can stay. If he likes things, if he's comfortable there, if he feels secure there, he can stay. But only after 6 years do you give him this option. Why 6 years? Now, I know there's probably a couple different answers. But I just want to say this for you to think about. There's some decisions you just can't make overnight. You got to hang around long enough and say, do I like things in the master's house? Or is that world still calling my name? You got to hang around long enough to see how things really were. I know the night you prayed through, you told God, I just want to be saved. I want to be saved. But you didn't know the trials that would await you, amen, in the next year or two. I know when you got saved the night you prayed through the altar, you said, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I know the night that you prayed through, you made all these commitments. And as a new convert, there's that fresh zeal and that fire, and you're going to live for God. But you see, you're going to hang around for a few years and go through some trials. Hang around for a few years and get sick and find out God's a healer. Hang around for a few years and get depressed and find out God's a lifter of your head. It takes a while to prove yourself. It takes a while for God to prove himself. What I'm saying is, it takes a while to go through some trials and some valleys and suffer some hardships for God to prove that he's faithful and he'll carry you through. I'm talking to somebody today that's made some spiritual commitments, but you didn't understand the valley you'd walk through. You didn't understand the warfare you'd be involved in. I've come to preach to somebody. Hold on, friend. Hold on, friend. Let God prove himself in your life. And let God show you I'll never leave you or forsake you. Let God prove I've never seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging bread. Let God prove his love for you. Amen. Let God show himself. He's faithful. Let's pray right now. Come on, in Jesus' name. Somewhere, somewhere, this has to satisfy you. Somewhere, truth has to be enough. Well, if we had more singing, if we had more shout, had more dance, if we had more of this, if we had somewhere, this has got to be enough. I need truth. And it doesn't matter about all these other things. I've got truth. And I'm settled in my heart. I'm not going back where I came from. Ancient history is colored with the tales of monumental wars fought by many a determined leader. While some were content to live and let live, others, a man understood that the best defense sometimes and most often is a very powerful offense.
It's better to attack your neighbor before he attacks you. So many of these battles were won against insurmountable odds. Battle-weary soldiers driven by bloodthirsty generals would press their way on until all was conquered and defeated. I've read some of these accounts of ancient warriors, and it was while I was searching for something else, I stumbled across this term, burning the boats. When Alexander the Great arrived on the shores of Persia, his army was overwhelmingly outnumbered. He gave the orders to his men to burn the boats. And their only means of retreat began to go up in flames. Legend has it that Alexander the Great turned to his men and said, "We go home in their ships or we die." Retreat was not an option. He'd removed all means of escape. He'd removed all means of going back where they had come from, unless they had complete and total victory. In 1519, Captain Hernan Cortez landed in Veracruz to begin his great conquest. Upon arriving, he gave the order to his men to burn the ships. One recording noted that someone then laughed, and Cortez promptly thrust his sword into the man's chest. Once again, the message was quite clear. We will fight, we will win, or we will all die, but we will not retreat. And so this is the essence of Peter's response when the Messiah said, "Will you also go away?" And Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." He was saying, "Lord, we've cut ties with all that we were. We've cut ties with all that we knew. You're all that we have." May I remind us that Peter had no idea about the great spiritual promotion he had coming down the road. But he still proclaimed, "I'm not interested in going back to my old ways or my old lifestyle. I've got no connection with the old man. I've settled my mind. I've fixed my heart. I'm not going back. I'm not going back. I'm telling somebody that Jesus is still your all in all. He's all that you have. And there is no going back to the world he called you out of." So we gladly say today, "Take this whole world, but give me Jesus." When's the last time you got on your face and said, "God, I'm not good enough. I'm not big enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not capable. God, I can't save my. I can't do this without you, God." You know what? I think God likes it that way sometimes. Sometimes I wonder if that's not why some things come our way. For medicine can't fix it. Bankers can't fix it. Nobody can fix it. And we're forced to go to our knees in prayer and say, "You're all I have, God. If I live, it's because of you. And if I die, it's because of you, God. But you're all that I have." And in my hardest moments and in my darkest hours, let me not forget, Lord, how lost that I was. On this side of Calvary, don't let me forget how absolutely miserable I was before I found you. Don't let me forget the feeling, amen, when I finally understood, yes, he really does love me. Don't let me lose the feeling I felt when I came up out of that watery grave and I understood all my sins had been washed away, that I was a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. The all, the feeling when somebody said, "All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And I had this spiritually white garment they sang about this morning. Man, this brand new start on life. Amen. The curse was gone. My past was gone. It didn't matter how vile it was. And Jesus, at that moment, I was so thankful. At that moment, I was so in love. He took all my sins away. He took all my sins away. I've got the blood. I've got the name. I've got the Holy Ghost. And so now I say, hey, there is no leaving. There's no backing up. There's no quitting. I'm here for the long haul. I'll never go back where I came from.
And I pray today that in your own personal life, you've burned the boats and there is no way to go back. Amen. I'm going to tell you why so many have left the church. Because they had something to go back to. A backup plan. Just in case things don't work out. They never did burn the proverbial bridge. They never did burn the boat. One of our favorite examples, and I'm almost done. It's the three Hebrew boys where they told the king, "We're not going to bow. Our Lord's able to deliver us. But if not," you know what they're saying? "There's no backup plan. I'm not bowing. I'm not caving into pressure. I know there's tremendous pressure to, and sometimes there's pressure from our loved ones. Sometimes there's pressure from a lost mom and dad. Sometimes there's pressure from a lost spouse. Sometimes there's pressure from the world we live in. But you've got to make up your mind. I can't live. I can't leave. I can't go back and be what I was. There's no backup plan. There's no way to go back. He's my all in all. I know too much." I want to tell you, and I'm just going to paraphrase today, in Jesus' name, God knows the Green family doesn't have a monopoly on troublesome times, but I've had my share. I've beat my head against the wall. I've wondered where God was. I've had men that I held in great, great esteem hurt me bad. I know what it's like to call my wife on the phone, feel like I was losing my mind. I tell her, "I can't take no more. I can't take no more. The pressure's so intense. I don't even know what to do. And I know it's like to get on the floor and just writhe and scream. And I know it's like to go through hard times. But I'm telling you what, not one time in my darkest night did I ever want to walk away from this truth. Not one time in the darkest times of my life did I ever want to go back to a world that I didn't need to have in my life. You want to know why? I'm telling you what. If I left the church, I wouldn't know what to do. I don't even know how to drink. I don't know how to dance. I don't know how to live like the world does. I've been raised in this. This is all that I know. I've burned every boat and there is no escape. Julian the Apostate, an emperor of Rome who rejected Christianity, was a mighty warrior who was fighting his way through the province of Babylon, an area between the Euphrates and Tigris River. In 1 hour, the entire navy had been destroyed. These 1,100 ships, powered with the sails and oars, were no match for the current. So these waters, it was exhausting the strength of 20,000 men. 20,000 men were trying to drag these boats upstream. So he said, "Burn the boats." Amen. The Hebrew writer said, "Wherefore, seeing also compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, come on, musicians, let us lay aside every weight and sin that doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that's set before us." Amen. There's some things in my life that I've got to go. Phone numbers, contacts, things that, pictures, whatever it is,
things I've got to let go of, because I'm never going back to what I once was. Would you stand? Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Yes, Lord. Feed my lambs. Peter, yes, Lord. Lovest thou me more than these? Yes, Lord. Feed my sheep. Peter, yes, Lord. Lovest thou me more than these? Yes, Lord, feed my sheep. What are you trying to say, Lord? Peter, burn the boats. I changed your name from Simon Barjona to Peter. Today I'm changing you from a fisherman to a shepherd. Peter, there's no going back. Remove all means of escape. Peter, I need you to sell out. Remember the day, Peter, when you said, I will lay down my life for thy sake? Peter, you didn't mean it then. But do you mean it now? I'm telling you, friend, we're living in a world that's trying desperately to drag us down. We've got to get to a point in life where the only hope and refuge I have is right here in the church. Doesn't matter what that world says and what that world does. Amen. I'm going back. I'm staying in the church. I'm never going back to the way things used to be. Would you lift your hands? Come on. Come on. I need the help of the Holy Ghost right now. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. She begins to sing, I open up this altar today. Come on. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I need somebody to step out and make a spiritual commitment today. I'm just serving you notice, hell. I'm not quitting. I'm not leaving. I need the church. I need the truth of the Word of God. Would you lift your voice? Come on, in Jesus' name. Come on, young people. Come on, new converts. Come on, guests. Come on, whoever you are today. The altar's open today. Let's burn some boats today. Let's make a renewed commitment, a new vow to God. Come on, pray, pray, pray.
What will you do with your life? Soon it will all be gone. You'll give your life to Jesus. One day he'll take you home.
What will you do with your life?
Oh, come on, this altar's for us personally.
What will you do with your
life? It's just as if you were here by yourself, you and God. Just go ahead and talk to him this morning. Share with him the anxieties and the fears and the doubts and all the things that are troubling your spirit this morning. He's here this morning to help you. He's here this morning to lift you up above these things. Oh, God, go ahead and just talk to him like your best friend, because he is your best friend. And as you begin to talk to him this morning, you'll begin to feel his presence. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, church, let's pray this morning. Come on, there are needs in this altar this morning that need to be met. Oh, God, we lean on you this morning. God, we lean on you this morning. God, we lean on you this morning. Let deliverance come this morning. Let victory come this morning. It's all right to cry in the altar. It's all right to pour out your heart this morning to God. He loves you so much. He wants to deliver and set you free from the things that are binding you this morning. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Come on, church. Come on, there are needs here this morning that need to be met. Let's pray and ask God to do that. Yes, Lord. 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 There is victory this morning. 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 Oh, come on, just go ahead and talk to God like your best friend this morning. Just talk to the Lord this morning. Just go ahead and ask God to help you to burn the bridge. Ask God to help you to burn the ship and get that behind you. Face the future with faith, trust, confidence. In Jesus' name this morning. In Jesus' name. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's seek the Lord this morning. Oh, God, we need you more than anything. With your life.